And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Covering down on some ground across the northern half of our state. Where are we? We're from down south of Birmingham, going all the way up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. I just saw something on Twitter, by the way. The Zelensky meeting, so President and Mrs. Biden met Zelensky when his caravan rolled up at the front door of the White House. And this guy that I follow on Twitter just tweeted out, you know, it's already in the bag when you show up in sweatpants to pick up your $47 billion. Because Zelensky came to the meeting dressed just like he does back home. He's wearing the green sweatshirt with the symbol of the Ukrainian army on the front. He's not putting on air. I think part of it was he probably felt like it would look bad for his troops to be in the field, and he's all duded up and having a state dinner. Okay, we'll talk about more of that when we find out more about what they talked about, but apparently there has been a commitment for more money to Ukraine, and the question I have is, has there been a commitment for more accountability, and will Ukraine follow suit on that? We'll see. All right, re-blowing the GOP. By the way, someone caught my joke. I was telling Charlene this morning, re-blew the GOP, and I kind of like wink, wink, nod, nod, because blue is the Democrat color, right? Yeah. So, who was it? Just texted that in. Darn it, I lost my place. Was it Paul from Athens? I think it was. Yep, it was. It was Paul from Athens texted in, says, being the GOP, wouldn't it be to re-red? See? Caught my joke there. I'm a little concerned with the number of blue people that I see in the red party. Thank you, Paul, for being the guy who caught my pun intended. Listen, here's the deal. We got to do an after-action review. It's got to be an honest after-action review. So I used to, and this is a thing from the military, after-action review just simply means you sit down after the event and you run through it. An after-action review, a good, honest one, you find to find what you call your ups and your downs. Two ups, two downs. Two good things that should be repeated, two bad things that should not be repeated. If you're honest, you will find the downs as well as the ups. At my law firm this morning, we had that same conversation. We had a situation for a client that, you know, we weren't satisfied with the full outcome. So three of us lawyers sat down, and we had about 5 minutes where we said, all right, what are the ups and downs? What's the after-action review say? How do we do this better next time? Not that we failed. There was no failure at all. It was just like, okay, I feel like it could have been smoother. I feel like we could have gotten there quicker. We went through it, and we decided, all right, we got to do this different. Let's make sure this protocol is in place, and all right, here we go. Well, we got to do the same thing with the 2022 midterms. For conservatives, this was a loss. Now, did we win back the House? Yeah, we did. We did not win back the Senate, and yet experts across the board say you could not have had a better stage set for a red wave. I got out there and said, I think we're going to wind up seeing 52 to 53 senators on the Republican side. Didn't happen. I thought we were going to take back the House, but we're going to have a bigger majority than we do. Didn't happen. The only good thing about having a smaller majority in the House is that we may very well now have the ability for conservatives to have a greater voice, because McCarthy needs every member of the Freedom Caucus. He can't do without them because the majority is so narrow. All right, that being said, what caused it? What are some things that caused the red wave to be a nothing burger? All right. Well, National Review has a piece that came out on December 19th, so just 2 days ago. I thought it was perfect. And if you remember, by the way, some of what I'm about to read you from them, I've been talking about on the show. One of the things that I've talked about more than once is there is zero excuse for going into an election without a published agenda, without a plan, without something to rally the troops, a contract for America. Now, towards the end of the election cycle, McCarthy did have that in the House. It was a little bit, you know, nondescript. I felt like some of the things that he was citing as part of their agenda in the House could have been, you know, better defined, a little more active. Did they spend the money to promote it? We had the money to work with. But right now what we're seeing is the Senate did not. So the 2022 midterm elections, according to this article from National Review, had all the makings of a red wave, but there were several issues that held Republicans back, according to one GOP pollster named Wes Anderson. Anderson said the ingredients for the wave were all there. A majority of respondents were saying the country was on the wrong track, 68%. President Biden had a 53% disapproval rating. Among independents, 44% approved of the job the president was doing, while 52% disapproved. I mean, all the ups and downs were in place when it comes to the thoughts and the sentiments of the populace. But Anderson said, here you go, key, you ready? Republicans lost voters by offering no plan, no agenda, no hint of what they will do. In fact, he said, in the Senate, they bragged about not having a thing, such a thing. The poll found that 27% of independent voters did not know what the Republican message was. Can you imagine? You're asking people to go vote for you, and 27% of those who are not already a part of your party, the swing voters, the ones who kind of go back and forth and you don't know which way they're going to vote, so you got to win them over. Every single time, you got to win them over. The poll found that 27% of independent voters did not even know what the Republican message was. Anderson dubbed the 2022 midterm terms the Seinfeld election. If you're ever a fan of Seinfeld, you know that there are times when watching Seinfeld, it was called the comedy about nothing. Well, he said this was a Seinfeld election because it was an election about nothing. He said one shining example, though, of how to do it right was one Senate race for Republican Ron Johnson up in Wisconsin. He said they spent a significant amount of money. They created a unified, disciplined message, and they went out there and they touted what they were going to do. That's key. That's huge. That's called leadership. Well, here's a story from Axios. Phil, did you go to Axios? Yes, I did. Axios from December of last year. December of last year. Mitch McConnell told his colleagues and donors that Senate Republicans would not release their legislative agenda before the midterms. Why? Why? Why would you ever go into plan without a battle without a plan? Why would you ever try to put together the puzzle without some idea of where you're headed? Why? It makes no sense. And it's also part of why we lost. Why it matters? According to this article from Axios, every midterm cycle, there are Republican donors and operatives who argue the party should release a positive, proactive, governing outline around which candidates can rally. Does that sound familiar? I'm sorry. Did I say that on the show? Yes, I did. McConnell adamantly rejects that idea. It's time for McConnell to go. Can I just go ahead and step out on the limb and say, if we're going to re-blue the GOP, it is time for McConnell to stop being the guy in charge of the Senate majorities and minorities or whatever we have. It's this time. How dare you claim the mantle of authority when you sat there and presided over mediocrity and you said you were not going to put out a plan? McConnell's response when he was asked in a fundraiser in November of last year about a Republican plan for the Senate races, he said that would not be something that they would be doing. He has long held the view, it says, that putting out an agenda is a mistake. What? God, I don't even understand this. I do not get it at all. But, you know, in terms of re-blowing the GOP, understand this, too, that Kevin McCarthy, who is right now running for Speaker of the House, he's having trouble even getting the majority he needs to take the position of authority. Here's a story from Washington Examiner. Washington Examiner. McDaniel, Ronald McDaniel, for the chairwoman of the National Party, is not alone in facing midterm election blowbacks from the party. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy is facing a brutal path toward the speakership and amid defections from the rightward flank of the House Republican caucus. So yeah, we got issues here. We've got definite categories, definite trends, definite things we can see if the after action review is going to be honest. And if we're going to re-blue the GOP, re-blue the red side, that's what I should have called it, re-blue the red side, then you got to look at what went wrong and make corrective action. But right now, putting the exact same people in charge to do the exact same things is like a guarantee of mediocrity again. I got a caller on line one. Boomer, let me go and take that real quick while I catch my breath. Is that Steve? Steve from Tennessee. How you doing, brother?
Hey, Phil. I'm doing fine. I'm going to try to hold my temper down, but when you mention McConnell, man, it's I had a physical the other day. My blood pressure is doing great, but I have a feeling it's not doing so good right now. That guy doesn't want anybody elected that's not going to be a McConnell, you know, line up and vote for McConnell guy.
Yeah, totally.
That's
agree.
All it is. I think he went, you know, he may have gone out a little bit for Johnson, but he's the guy, I think, that has manipulated this thing to ensure what's good for him and not what's good for us.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
I totally agree, man. I can't imagine why we keep rewarding him with leadership, because we're not.
I don't either. And then you throw in some election fraud here and there that's actually, I think, more significant than people want to admit. Hmm. And you got a formula for long term. You know, we're just anchored down, man. The fleet can't float. We're just sitting there at anchor, and that's where we're going to be unless we fix those two problems.
Yeah.
Election integrity and leadership in the Senate's got to get fixed.
Yeah, and I'm going to go ahead and say, too, leadership in the House and at the National Party. I think that's all got to be done.
Yeah. The House and the National Party, too, I agree with you. It's all one and the same. It's all the same mess.
Hey, man, thanks for the call.
I appreciate what you're saying.
Thanks, man. Merry Christmas.
Same to you. All right. Bye.
Bye. He's always got good content. And I'll tell you what. So before we go to the break, here's a story I've told before. I'll tell it again. A few years back when Jeff Sessions stepped down from the U.S. Senate to take the position of Attorney General, Governor Bentley had, by law, the ability to fill his seat, had to appoint somebody. If you remember, it wound up being Luther Strange, which was a debacle. But in the course of that, there were about, I think, seven people that were on Bentley's short list, and I had the honor of being one of them. So I was interviewed by Governor Bentley. I'll never forget sitting down with the governor in his office, and he's interviewing me about possibly being an ex-U.S. senator, and he has a sticky note sitting there on the table, and he grabs the sticky note, and he goes, "Look at this. It's McConnell calling me for the third time today." He said, "I got to call him back. You know what he said to me the other day?" And this is Bentley talking. I said, "No, what?" He said, "Whatever you do, don't send me one of those Freedom Caucus types." And I thought to myself, well, I'm not getting the job. And I didn't. Luther Strange got it, which I guess means he wasn't one of those Freedom Caucus types. But, yeah, that's where that was. And you can tell McConnell does not like true conservatives. He doesn't want somebody coming up there who's going to make waves, who's going to ask for fiscal accountability, who's going to say, "Hey, let's have a plan." He's content to just, "Well, we're going to continue to say that we're going to move forward in mediocrity." Take me to a break, Boomer. We'll come right back. We're going to wrap this up a little bit and then move to the top of the hour with a phone call with Chairman John Wall of the Alabama Republican Party. By the way, they're doing some very cool stuff that I'll tell you about more in a minute, too, besides just politics. I like it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, the text lines have gone crazy. Apparently Mitch McConnell's very popular, or maybe unpopular is better put. Ben from Decatur says, "McConnell must go. Can't say it enough. Not a leader and not sure why he wins elections as a leader." I agree, Ben. Brian from Huntsville, "No plan. Mitch McConnell, Vader. Saying, I find your lack of faith disturbing." Yeah. John from Lexington, South Carolina. Hang on a second. He sent a picture and I can't tell what it is. Oh, John from Lexington, South Carolina says, "Emperor Mitch McConnell pledges to crush the Tea Party rebellion." Yeah, he's literally sent a headline from 2014 about how Mitch McConnell hated the Tea Party. Daniel from Tullahoma says, "China Mitch McConnell didn't back the Republican candidates. He kept funding away from them and sabotaged them." I think that's what happened with Blake Masters out in Arizona, by the way. I'm trying to think what else I see on here. I think that's about it for Mitch McConnell right now. But I got line one. I got Jeff from Indiana on the line. Jeff Rowe, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. This is my last day till next year.
Oh, you taking some time off,
I'm happy camper. Yeah, the plant's shutting down, so I'm off in whether I want to or not.
Well, good deal, man. Hope you enjoy it. Hope you get rested and refreshed.
Yeah, I need it, I tell you.
Well, what's on your mind?
The Republican leadership is why most conservative Republicans would love to jump ship and go to a different party if there was one, a viable party out there. I mean, it's so frustrating to see. Basically, we need to send the Republicans to the Democrat training camp because they know how to stick together. If there's one thing the Democrats do, is they are in lockstep, buddy.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I mean, I know there's infighting in their caucus meetings, but for the most part, when the Democrats come out of the caucus meeting, they tend to move in the same directions. And I'll be honest with you, they did some things during their election. They've got it down when it comes to their social media, their branding, their advertising. They did a better job in the midterms than the Republicans did by far.
Oh, yeah, everything. And what really grabs me is that, you know, even when we're in the power and the majority and everything, we don't do nothing. Do you think the Republicans will ever hold Joe Biden accountable for anything? I mean, you know, the Democrats are going after Trump. If the man picks his nose, it's like, oh, well, it's time to impeach him, you know.
Yeah.
So, but Joe Biden can sit there and basically be a traitor, and they won't do nothing to him.
No,
it's just crazy.
It is crazy, and that's a leadership thing because Mitch. Now, I think that Kevin McCarthy is going to, if he gets the leadership position, whoever gets the leadership position in the House, I think they're going to hold hearings and they're going to do things. They still require the Senate though for impeachment processes, and I don't know that Mitch McConnell will ever let something come forward like he should. Now, I will say this: one thing Mitch McConnell did right was he got a lot of Trump's judicial picks in place, so the federal court system was beefed up. That's about all I can point to, though, over his tenure. I mean, I really don't know what else to point to.
The turtle needs to go. He needs to bury his. We need to send the turtle out to sea.
Well, no doubt. All right, man. Hey, be careful on the road. Enjoy your time off. I hope that even though you're going to be on some time off, you'll still listen in and call in. All right.
Oh yeah, we'll take care of it.
All right, buddy. See you, man.
I'll talk to you later, Phil.
Merry Christmas.
See you, bud.
Let me throw something else in there too. The youth vote. I think that one of the things that's going to have to happen for Republicans to be successful, they've got to recoup some with Gen Z. And I, by the way, I'm always reluctant to brand, you know, groups like the boomers and the no pun intended there, bud. Gen Z and Gen X and whatever. But let's go ahead and assume for now that there is a Gen Z. Well, they've got their notions. They vote. And yet, I've got a piece here from Fox News. It was written by a young lady named Carolyn Levitt, who actually ran for Congress unsuccessfully, but she ran. And she ran on a very conservative platform. And she says, I just turned 25 a few weeks prior to winning the GOP nomination in New Hampshire. I was raised to appreciate our nation's fundamental values of faith, family, and freedom, values that are uncommon and unpopular among my peers. Gen Z has been indoctrinated to be faithless, anti-American, self-proclaimed socialists who care about changing their gender more than about paying their bills. She points out, though, the 2022 midterms were the first electoral test on the impact of Gen Z Americans, and Republicans failed miserably. 18 to 29-year-olds, she says, flooded the polls to cast their ballots for Democrat candidates. In House races like hers, she said, 63% of Gen Z Americans voted Democrat. 63%. In all races nationwide, 18 to 29-year-olds voted Democrat by 28 points. God, that's hard. That's hard stuff, man. She says by 2024, Gen Z and millennials will make up nearly half of the electorate, replacing the baby boomers once and for all. Folks, we got to do a better job. Got to do a better job. More on this when we get back with Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall. We'll be right back.